السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين عموما
Normally, when we witness and experience the rewards and blessings of Allah the Almighty, the majority, whilst mentioning these graces and blessings of Allah the Almighty, say Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. This is regardless of whether he understands the deeper meanings of Alhamd or not. Due to upbringing and nourishment in a certain atmosphere, this realization is most certainly present, that even if he just says it as a formality, he knows that he must say, Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. Even a person with less knowledge understands that he must utter these words. These words which indicate towards praise of God the Supreme. Therefore, an Ahmadi on every such occasion upon which he receives happiness, when the blessings of Allah the Almighty are raining down, or when he receives a reward from God, or when through any means he understands that it is Allah the Almighty who is providing him with this blessing. So on such an occasion, he most certainly exclaims, Alhamdulillah. He does this whether it relates to a personal happiness or happiness on the level of the Jamaat where the blessings of Allah the Almighty have descended. Most certainly, uttering the words Alhamdulillah on every such occasion should be done by every single Ahmadi. However, the words Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah, become a greater source of blessing for the one uttering it at that point, when he says it with thought and consideration, when he expresses it understanding its true spirit. We Ahmadis are most fortunate that we have come to accept the Imam of this time and the Messiah and the Mahdi. We have accepted the Imam Mahdi. It is due to this faith in him that we do not face any difficulty in understanding Alhamdulillah or the meanings or the spirit of any of the words of the Holy Quran, providing that we give due attention towards this. This is because the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, having gained knowledge from God the Almighty, has enlightened us with regards to the philosophy of these words. He has explained to us Alhamdulillah in various different manners. At this time, I will provide a brief elucidation of the words Alhamd in the words of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, "Let it be clear. Hamd is praise which is offered in appreciation of commendable action of one worthy of praise. It also means lauding one who has done a favor of his own volition or will or according to his own choice. The true reality of hamd is the due only of the being who is the source of all grace and who is the source of all light, and who exercises beneficence deliberately and not in ignorance or under compulsion. These meanings of hamd are found only in Allah, the All-Knowing, the All-Seeing. Indeed, He is the true benefactor, and from Him proceed all benefits from beginning to end, and for Him is all glorification, in this world and also in the hereafter. And all praise that is bestowed on others reverts to Him. Thus, this is the definition and meaning which is encompassed by the word hamd. When a person keeps all these meanings before him and says Alhamdulillah, then that becomes a true hamd. This is a type of hamd that a mu'min or a believer should perform. In many places, the Holy Quran mentions the word hamd, and it draws attention towards the hamd or the praise of Allah the Supreme. In any case, at this point, I will speak in light of the aforementioned extract and will explain it somewhat. Those matters that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has drawn attention towards with reference to the word hamd are as follows. First of all, this entails such praise which relates to the action of the one deserving of praise. Amongst people, various people are praised. However, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states that the one deserving of praise, and who is more deserving of praise than Allah the Almighty? So thus, one point that should be borne in mind is that the reason why all praise belongs to Allah is because He is the most deserving of that praise. Further, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, explains the praise of such a one who confers blessings, who confers it of his own will and of his own volition. Thus, when the blessings of Allah the Almighty descend, they are bestowed more due to the will of Allah the Almighty rather than the action and deed of the person receiving the reward. Sometimes Allah the Almighty shows the manifestation of His Rahmaniyat. He provides at times without a person having done anything. Or, due to a good deed, He bestows upon that person thousands of more times than that deed itself. Also, if through the manifestation of Rahimiyat, Allah the Almighty bestows His bounties and favor, it is also through His own will and choice. It is Allah who enables a person to carry out a good deed. He enables a person to pray. And it is Allah who causes good results to emerge. Subsequently, Allah the Almighty bestows His favors and bounties. The third point mentioned by the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, is that He bestows favors based on His intention. Who more than Allah the Almighty confers a favor or carries out an act of kindness upon His people based on His intention? Allah desires to confer favor upon His people. It is for this reason that His rahmat or His grace is extensive. when the promise of Allah the Almighty combines with His intention. It is then that the rewards and the bounties and the favors of Allah the Almighty rain down in such a manner that a person cannot even envisage. In this age, we find these blessings with the Jamaat of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. For the promises and decree of Allah the Supreme proclaim the dominance and victory of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace. The next point mentioned by the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, is as follows. The one truly worthy of praise is that being who is the source of all blessings and all light. So therefore, when a person utters Alhamdulillah, he should say it with this consideration, that it is only the being of Allah the Almighty that confers all types of beneficence upon man. It is the being of Allah the Almighty who is the light of the heavens and the earth. Allahu Nur as-samawati wal-ard, as is said by Allah. So when Allah the Almighty is the light, a person should go towards Allah. A person should proceed towards Him and should submit towards God. It is then that a person becomes one who truly says Hamd. He thus comes out of darkness and continuously moves into light. Here then, a new aspect of the favor of Allah the Supreme begins. As Allah the Almighty states, Allahu waliyyu allazina amanu yukhrijuhum minaz zulumati ila an-nur. That Allah is a friend of those who believe. He brings them out of every kind of darkness into light. Whoever is befriended by Allah the Supreme, whoever God the Almighty becomes the wali of, he gains new perception and insight with regards to Alhamdulillah. Subsequently, a new series of the blessings and favors of Allah the Almighty commences. Thus, one who carries out true hamd becomes a recipient of the blessings of Allah the Almighty. A never-ending series of these blessings then begins. After one blessing is received, another blessing is then bestowed, and so on. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states that it should also be borne in mind that Allah the Almighty does not confer favor inadvertently, and nor does He confer it in compulsion. Rather, this is done ala wajhil basirat. This is done in full perception. Allah the Almighty is fully aware that He is conferring this favor, and He does not require any reward in return. However, He has also informed man that if you become grateful, if you carry out true hamd continuously, if you discharge the right of your servitude, then la'azidannakum, you will gain further blessings. Allah says that My blessings, My favors will continuously increase. These blessings and these favors will not only be conferred upon you continuously in this world, rather you will also be provided these bounties, these rewards and these favors in the hereafter. You will continuously reap the fruits of the never-ending rewards born out of true hamd. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, explains further. The praise that is carried out in this world of anyone other than Allah the Almighty or the other creation, that also reverts ultimately to Allah the Almighty, and it should do so. A true believer should have this discernment and perception that the ultimate end of all types of praise is Allah the Almighty. This is for Allah the Supreme is the possessor of all powers. The one who created the heavens and the earth and all within is Allah, whether this relates to animate or inanimate creation, whether it relates to plant life or animal life, or whether it relates to human life. the Creator of all, and the One who bestowed within all creation various types of attributes and qualities, is Allah the Almighty, through which man can derive benefit. Therefore, no object, no thing, or no human has any individual significance whatsoever until the point that Allah the Almighty bestows the quality or attribute or strength within it, which can give benefit to man. There are innumerable and countless things in this world and on this earth. The quality in them to give benefit to others has been given by Allah the Almighty. A person cannot derive benefit until Allah so wills that this will give benefit. So therefore, when every single quality has been given due to the will and intention of God the Supreme, and also as a result of Allah's law of nature. For this reason, after anyone derives benefit from anyone in the world, true gratitude should still be of Allah the Almighty, and the hamd or the praise should be done of God, that God who provided these means and who bestowed these provisions, through which the creation, the men, and the believers of God derive benefit. It is indeed a commandment that gratitude should also be extended to people. If anyone takes benefit from another person, you should also be grateful to that person. If gratitude to people is carried out with the intention that it is Allah who has sent this person for my benefit, it is Allah who has created this person as a means for my benefit, Allah has sent this person as a means for my betterment, this would also be gratitude to God. This gratitude is of that Rabbul Alameen, who is the Lord of all the worlds, He who created us and provided the means for our nourishment and everything else. When a person does this, he does not make any person his Rabb. He does not assume that it is as a result of this person that this work of mine was achieved or that I received this and that. He understands that the true Rabb is Allah, who is a Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all the worlds. So therefore, this is the splendor of a mu'min, of a believer, that even when he is grateful for the favor bestowed upon him by another person, even then, he realizes that the real source of that favor is the being of the Lord. In fact, when he sees others acting in a good or kind manner, he understands that the reason why that person is acting in a good manner is due to God. For it is Allah the Almighty who infused within the heart of that person the idea to act in a good way. So therefore, the thought of a true mu'min, of a true believer, whenever taking any benefit or deriving any benefit through any means whatsoever, takes him towards the being of God. When this understanding persists, that is the true hamd which the promised Messiah alayhi salam has drawn our attention towards and has instructed us to give heed towards. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the majority of the members of the Jamaat carry out hamd of God with this very understanding. And they should do so. Because faith also progresses with this true hamd. However, as a Jamaat, we should also keep this thought in mind, that on every occasion where the Jamaat is given progress by Allah the Almighty, this should lead us to becoming those who carry out hamd of Allah the Supreme. We should always be those who understand the true spirit of Alhamdulillah. When hamd is carried out in this manner in all directions, then undoubtedly the rainfall of blessings of Allah the Almighty can increase manifold times more than before. This true hamd also produces a spiritual revolution within man. It saves a person from imperceptible shirk, associating partners with God. It makes him a true abid, a true worshipper of God. Then, when he searches out for those commandments that have been enjoined by Allah the Almighty, it draws the person's attention towards acting upon them. It draws a person's attention towards adopting the highest moral values and the loftiest standards of human values. So therefore, it is this hamd which we should constantly strive to search out for. In my last week's khutbah, that is Friday sermon, which I delivered in Canada, I mentioned the youth of the USA and Canada. I said that Allah the Almighty had enabled them, that they have become very active in Jamaat work, especially in terms of building up connections with people outside the Jamaat. They have progressed to a great degree. Further, positive and good results emerge out of those connections that were formed. They have formed connections with many well-educated persons. They have formed links with many of the prominent personalities of these countries. It is as a result of these connections that when I went to these countries, meetings were arranged for me to meet with these people, and I had the opportunity to meet them. Many of these guests would come to our mission house to meet us, such senior and prominent persons who we would assume would not come. Such people who form the policies of their country, those people who govern the world affairs and who make policies with regard to the world. I had an opportunity to say a few things to them and to explain to them a few matters. So this was a benefit of these connections that were formed. And, as I mentioned, a major role was played by the youth in this. However, these youth, whether they are of the US of A or of Canada or in fact anywhere else in the world, I would like to also draw their attention towards the point that do not consider any worldly relationship or connection to be any great personal achievement. Indeed, Allah the Almighty has granted you an opportunity to reach to these people and to convey to them the true teachings of Islam based on justice. Or it can be said that if you arrange for me to meet certain people, or if you arrange a function, I was granted the ability by Allah the Supreme to impart to them the beautiful teachings of Islam, to explain with wisdom to the senior people of the country who make decisions with regards to the world, how the world can be led and guided. Thus, first of all, what I would like to say to the youth everywhere in the world, but because I recently went on a tour of the USA and Canada, I especially say this to the youth of these countries, that do not attribute your links, your connections, your achievements to any personal quality. In fact, consider it a blessing and reward of God, and praise Allah the Almighty for the reason that He granted you this opportunity to form these links. Further, the aim of creating these connections and links is not to derive any personal gain. This should never be the reason. Our purpose is to guide the world. It is, to the maximum extent possible, to endeavor and show the world the manner of treading on the right path. If they accept this, then that is good. If they do not, then at least we would have discharged our duty. It is to save the world from disorder and destruction. This is because the path that the world is currently walking upon, if they persist on that route, then undoubtedly a great destruction looms before us. It is to bring the world towards God. If anyone thinks within their heart that perhaps our benefit and our success is connected with these relationships, or that it is due to anyone's personal quality or achievement that these connections are formed, or that the progress of the Jamaat is related to these connections, then that is wrong. As I have explained in the subject of Hamd, that this is the will and intention of God. It is His choice that the Jamaat of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam will go on progressing and achieving successes. In these successes, we make trivial efforts. In terms of the actual results, they manifest as the result of the favor of Allah the Almighty. Thus, whenever any fruits are reaped due to any effort, more than anyone's personal endeavor and quality, it is due to the blessing and grace of God. In fact, it is in reality only due to the blessing of God. If we maintain this way of thinking, then the blessings will go on increasing. Moreover, we are not to take anything from these worldly people, and nor is this our purpose. The reports of my tour of the USA would have been read in the Al-Fazl by the readers of Al-Fazl. In the USA, at that location and at that building, which is called Capitol Hill, where the Congress and Senate gather, where they decide about their country and the world, where there are also other departments and offices of the country, there a function was held in a hall. I briefly addressed him. Some of our opponents try to exploit this, in particular in Pakistan, so that further incitement against Ahmadis could occur. In any case, they did not achieve in their aims. The viewpoint of these opponents was that, for the sake of the Ahmadis, I had gone to the American government to seek help. Or that, God forbid, I had gone to the American government to conspire against Pakistan. With regards to whatever I said at Capitol Hill, if these people listen to it with the eye of justice, which they do not possess, then they can decide, in fact anyone can decide, that whether I went there to take something or whether I went there to give them and explain to them something. Our reliance is purely on God. The progress of the Jamaat is through the blessings and rewards of God. It is not out of the help of any government, and neither have we ever thought in this manner. With regards to conspiring against our country, we love our country much more than these opponents. These people have no role in the creation of Pakistan, nor do these people have any role in maintaining this country. In fact, these people are looting the country with both hands and are taking it towards destruction. In terms of taking anything, I should also mention this, that in 2008, I went to the USA for the Jubilee Jalsa. A reception was held in which local people also attended. On that occasion, there was only one senator who attended for a short while. He sat for 5 minutes and then he departed. And even that was before the function started. There were no senators and no congressmen as far as I remember. I spoke to him for 2 minutes and he asked me, "What do you want from me?" I felt from this attitude that he was saying that, "What have you come to beg for?" Because perhaps the conception that they have of Pakistani people is that they always come to beg. So I responded to him, "I have not come to take anything from you." This is what I said at the time. "I have come to inform you that if you desire to establish peace in the world, this is what you have to do and what kind of policies you need to form." In any case, as I stated, this was the only senator who came on that occasion. He spoke to me for a few minutes and then he left. However, in this function, in Capitol Hill, and in this address that I delivered, In terms of its significance, for me, the significance was only in so much that if these leaders gathered together, and if the well-educated denomination also attended, then I could explain to them a few aspects with regards to the teachings of Islam, that perhaps thereafter, for the peace of the world, they listen to this and consider taking proper steps and measures. One day before this function, a journalist from the CNN took an interview of me. Apart from other matters that were discussed, he said that this is a very important opportunity that is emerging for you. How are you feeling about it? Immediately, I expressed the following, that this is not all too important for me this occasion, that I should more than required be excited, or I said something on these lines, that this is not any such occasion that I should be excited more than that is required. The real purpose of my tour here in the USA is to meet my people. It is to draw attention to their improvement in their moral, spiritual, and religious state. Upon this, the journalist stated that your statement would be very shocking for the US politicians, that you are not giving any importance to them. He then laughed and said that in any case, I will not inform the politicians of what you have just said. Nonetheless, from the perspective of a worldly person, there may be some importance in this, but in our point of view, there is no importance in this and nor should there be. Indeed, demonstrating high moral values, we do absolutely thank them that they have listened to what we had to say. In the various meetings that were held before this function, there were some chaplains of various denominations of the army there. Due to friendship with one of our Ahmadis, four or five of them came to meet me. So one of them said to me that tomorrow you are going to address the congressmen and senators. Are you feeling nervous? I said, absolutely not. I am going to speak about Islam and the Holy Quran. I do not consider that there is anything in this that should make me nervous. It is Allah the Almighty who grants the ability, and I have had the opportunity to deliver lectures in various places. He then started saying himself that whenever we have such an opportunity, we face a lot of difficulty and become nervous. So this is because these people, although they may be chaplains, they may be religious leaders who are there to discharge certain religious traditions, or they are considered religious leaders, but worldliness is overriding in them. Further, the mention of the name Capitol Hill itself is intimidating to them, even if they may be Americans themselves. But those who believe in the one God, for them, God is everything, and this should be the case. Even those who raise objections against the Jamaat, they are impressed by the worldly people in the same way that these people are. Due to this, they never have had the courage or opportunity, because they also must have meetings and meet them, to convey to them the message of Islam, to convey to them the message of God, to convey to them the message of the Holy Quran. After this function, there were some congressmen speaking amongst each other. One of our Ahmadis overheard them, and one was saying that this is how Muslim leaders should be. They should speak openly and say the truth and should say it in these strong words. So therefore, this was one view. No Muslim leader until today, in fact, even the leaders, have ever had the opportunity to do this. The reason why they have not been given the opportunity by God is because they have given more inclination towards the world over their religion. Thus, the youth should always maintain these links and connections with this way of thinking, that we are not to take anything from these worldly leaders, but rather we are to give them something. Our sentiments of gratitude should be most of all towards God. Then observe how the blessings of Allah the Almighty continuously increase. Remember, in the work of the Jamaat, worldliness and materialism can never be of any use. If you consider worldly people everything, then Allah, who gives rewards and blessings, He also has the right and He also has the power to retract those blessings. So therefore, our objective is always the hamd and seeking the pleasure of God. And this is so. Our ultimate objective is not to form any connection with people of the world. This is not the case, this has never been the case, and inshallah this will never be so. Nor is our life objective to approach these people of the world and to derive anything from them. Whether it is Capitol Hill of the USA or any other such building, any function or event has ever been our life objective, and never will it be so, and neither should it be so. This is not our ultimate objective. Every single Ahmadi should remember, however much well-educated they are, that our ultimate objective is to make the world submit before the one God. This is our ultimate purpose. It is to cause the flag of the Holy Prophet ﷺ to be hoisted from the buildings of the world and by the national flags of the world. Most would have seen it on MTA and also read it from the reports. Whatever I said at Capitol Hill was in light of the Holy Quran and its teachings. It was based on the teachings of Islam, which are the teachings of truth. This is what I tried to impart. Even in this, this was not out of any personal quality of mine. I consider myself a person of less knowledge and a humble person. However, that Messiah and Mahdi, in whose representation I had gone to make this madras, with him was a promise to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our master, our guide, our leader, made by God, that Nasirtu bin Rub, that you have been given prestige by God. Thus, on the way to Capitol Hill, when I was praying in the car, this is what I thought. That people say that this is a very highly placed and important building. Before this, I did not have the opportunity to even think about this. I only thought about this here on the way. So I said, I am a humble person of yours, God. I am taking your message. I am going in the representation of your Messiah. So therefore, display the manifestation of the Nasirtu bin Rub, that you have been given prestige by God once again today. Allah the Almighty then accepted this prayer. Those people who have interest in this, they witnessed this and they also expressed it. They said that we observe the manifestation of Nasirtu bin Rub there. Anur Mahmud Khan Sahib, son of Abdul Malik Khan Sahib, who lives there. He is also a part of the Markazi Amla. He has written a short article with regards to this. I believe that he should publish this in Al-Fazl and also other publications. He has written about the circumstances there and also the brief viewpoints mentioned by the politicians, that how they were impacted and impressed by this. In this function, 29 senators and congressmen attended. There were people from think tanks, people who were linked to the Pentagon, and also some people from NGO and also professors. In total, approximately 110 people were present. It is a custom there, and this is what is normally said, that whenever congressmen and senators attend any function, they do not sit long. After a short duration, they get up and leave. What the standard of their morality is, they know. But everyone there is aware that they do not sit there long, they always leave. However, in this function, apart from two or three who had taken permission to leave earlier, everyone else stayed for the entire duration. In fact, one person who is an experienced and old bureaucrat of Capitol Hill, who works there, he said that I have been here for 15 years. First of all, I have never seen before that more than 10 senators and congressmen attended one function together. Secondly, he stated, I have never seen that they stay for more than 5 or 10 minutes in any function, whatever it may be. They always get up and leave, even if it is a world leader there or even if it is our own function. They do not stay sitting. This person then stated, this was also astonishing for me, that people from various political parties, different people from the government, were all sitting together and they remained seated. The senator who I mentioned had met me in 2008 and had a very arrogant attitude. He also not only was present at the function, he also came and addressed the gathering from the stage. He stayed there for the entire duration of my address, and he listened and then he departed. There were some people who were senators or congressmen who, due to a shortage of seats, that was the largest hall available there. There were some of our people and also their people. There is no large hall as such there. This is called the Gold Room. This is the best and largest room there where important functions are held. So due to a shortage of seats, some of these people remained standing and listened attentively. They listened to those things that I said that were perhaps not in line with their temperament. I said that discharge justice. Amongst what I said dispense justice, because if you do not do so, you will not be able to control all the governments, no matter how much power you may have. I said that take care of minor and major powers, because this is extremely essential to maintain peace. I said that in the Security Council and the United Nations, all countries should sit equally. I said that do not look greedily upon the wealth and resources of other nations. So these were some of the matters that I stated, and these were not things that were very much in line with their temperament. All of this I said based on the Holy Quran. After my address, the first Muslim congressman there, who is an African-American, he said to me that I really like this point that you made, that do not look greedily upon the wealth and resources of others. They are also aware of what their policies are and what occurs. So he stated that this lecture should be published and should be disseminated rapidly to everyone. One congressman's view was as follows. He said, this message was such that it is needed by the USA. So therefore, it was merely by the grace and blessings of Allah the Almighty alone that the teachings of Islam was conveyed to these people. Whether this impacted them, or whether this only had a short-term effect which will die away, whether they listened to this truly or not, in any case, the true teachings of Islam undoubtedly have been clarified to them. So therefore, the true hound belongs to God, who created these means and provisions, and this point should be borne in mind by every single Ahmadi. Similarly, in different meetings, I drew the attention of their politicians towards discharging justice. If they give due heed to this, the world will be saved from disorder, and so will they. If they do not, then the decree of Allah will also come into motion. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, also in Canada, our youth, that is our Secretary Amuri Kharja, External Affairs, and his team have good connections and links. They have links with new people and also have maintained their old friendships. They should also show gratitude to God who gave this opportunity, that they could be beneficial to Jamaat in any way and they could convey to them matters of justice and the truth. There were many politicians and leaders who they had arranged for me to meet. To make the world an abode of peace, it is necessary to explain to these leaders and politicians. Also, it is essential to explain to the well-educated denomination. On this occasion, two functions were held in Canada. One was a reception, which was actually the new Tahir Hall, which was inaugurated. There was a significant number of local Canadians, also politicians and well-educated persons. I had the opportunity to say a few things with regards to the teachings of Islam. The reports I have received is that the views of those who attended were very positive. May Allah make it so that these positive views change their policies and also change their way of thinking. With regards to this very Tahir Hall, I should also mention, previously, a certain government department which helps charities and also NGOs, they offered to give approximately $2 or $2.5 million for the construction of this, that some portion should be given by the Jamaat and some by them. When I learned of this, I said it would be better to thank them and return their money, and the Jamaat should instead construct this themselves. Subsequently, Allah bestowed His blessings, the Jamaat was enabled, and after spending some millions, this hall was built, which is attached to the Jamia Ahmadiyya. Aside from the fact that there are also many projects to construct mosques in Canada, which amount to millions of dollars, through the grace of the Almighty Allah, they are still carrying out these projects, and this is a Jamaat that makes sacrifices. May Allah the Almighty bless their money and also themselves. The existing building that was being used as Jamia was a purchased building. However, it had become small. Now, good classrooms and offices have been made alongside, and this Jamia is in Peace Village itself, where it is relatively easier to control and monitor. Inshallah, this year the Jamia will begin there. Thus, observing these progresses and advances, the heart is filled with the hamd of Allah. May Allah the Almighty make every single person of the Jamaat one who carries out true hamd and shows true gratitude. Due to our links and connections, the Chief Minister of Ontario, with great insistence, had organized and arranged a function. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Jamaat there has good connections at every level. When this minister learned of my coming to Canada, he said that he wanted to organize a reception for me. When I turned this down, that there is shortage of time, and where his office is based, where his secretariat are, or wherever he wanted to organize the function, in the guest houses or in the ministerial house, to travel between there would be difficult and would waste a lot of time. He replied that if this is the case, I will arrange a function in a large hotel near to where you are based, but in any case you must come. After this, there was no room left to turn his offer down. Subsequently, he organized a reception. He mentioned the Jamaat in very positive terms. He related the link with the Jamaat and also the good work of the community. There, I also had an opportunity to impart the beautiful teachings of Islam for 15 or 20 minutes to all the people present. Therefore, from a perspective of the links and connections, there are office holders there who have good connections and links, and also there are some ordinary Ahmadis who also have good connections. These previous connections have not only been maintained, in fact, they are increasing and strengthening. So therefore, as I stated, always remember that this is due to the blessing of God, rather than because of any individual or any youth. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Canada Jamaat, generally speaking, is advanced in their devotion and loyalty. In the previous week khutbah or sermon, due to certain shortcomings in the administration and system, I expressed displeasure somewhat. When I met the members of the Jamaat after, they were distraught and were crying and weeping and asked for forgiveness. They also expressed this through letters. Whereas, if I express a little anger or displeasure, it was with relation to relevant departments and the office holders, and not the members of the Jamaat. It is the love, sincerity and devotion of the members of the Jamaat that led me to say that if it was not out of care for them, I would have transferred the Jalsa to the USOV. So, generally speaking, I have no complaint with the members of the Jamaat there. Indeed, during the Jalsa Salana itself, there are sometimes some mistakes that are made. These are mistakes that are made by the office holders also, or if errors are made by the members of the Jamaat. Such as, on the ladies' side, there are complaints that normally arise from one segment, that there is normally a lot of noise and they do not listen to the Jalsa with attention. But the rectification of all of this can be carried out by the duty holders, men and women, and the office holders, discharging their duties properly. Therefore, if anyone should have asked for forgiveness, it should have been the office holders and certain duty workers. But they did not consider this, and instead, the ordinary Ahmadi members, men and women, were restless and anxious that I had expressed anger and displeasure. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, seeing the sincerity and loyalty of the members of the Jamaat in Canada, my heart is filled with the hamd of God. There was already a population living in Peace Village. Now, this has been expanded to the surroundings of Peace Village where a new area has been populated. Then also on the other side, that has also been populated. It is my estimation there must be around 1,000 Ahmadi homes. So this is why there was always hustle and bustle there. It always felt there as if it was an Ahmadi atmosphere. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, seeing the sincerity and loyalty of the members of Jamaat in Canada, my heart is filled with the hamd of God. That what kind of people Allah the Almighty has granted to the Jamaat of the Promised Messiah. How beloved a Jamaat this is, which have also reached the heights of love towards Khilafat. On a daily basis, there was illumination in Peace Village, as I mentioned. Further, there were only limited days and Ramadan was approaching. I felt to stay there a bit longer and observe their devotion and loyalty. This is also a blessing and reward of Allah, that the place of the Jalsa in terms of arrangements is becoming too small. There is also becoming a shortage in parking. It is for this reason that Canada Jamaat should also think about expanding and looking for a new venue. They should not be concerned how the arrangements will be carried out. When Allah the Almighty is increasing your requirements, He will also provide the arrangements, providing that you become truly grateful people to God who display true hamd. I would like to say one more thing which relates to the USA, also in Canada, but also here as well. Nowadays, people are coming as refugees and asylum seekers from Pakistan. Many new people are coming of this type. They should also remember that Allah the Almighty has bestowed blessings and grace upon them. In order to attract the blessings of Allah further, you should, instead of losing yourselves into the world and materialism, you should bond yourselves with God. You should keep in view the commands of Allah the Almighty. You should keep in view how to please Allah. The youth should especially remember that the extent to which you show gratitude and carry out hamd of God, the blessings and rewards of Allah the Almighty will continuously increase. But you should always remember the difficulties that you face in Pakistan. It is then that you will always remember God. Those who come new should always focus on trying to establish a virtuous example, both men and women. This is so that where on the one hand you can become the recipient of God's blessings, there on the other hand, for the people living in those countries and also for the Ahmadis, you can become an example. So always remember this point. Your coming here should not only be for the world, you should also keep in view the religion. Inshallah, Ramadan will start in 2 days. In the USA and Canada, perhaps Ramadan is starting tomorrow. Every single Ahmadi should take great benefit from Ramadan. Strive to take your prayers and supplication to the maximum levels. These are days to attract the blessings of Allah the Almighty. Every single Ahmadi should try the level best to derive benefit from this. May Allah the Almighty also grant every single Ahmadi to achieve this. This is so we can witness the blessings of God descend upon us to a greater degree than before. May Allah enable this to be achieved. After the Friday prayers, I will also lead two funeral prayers. The first one is one of our martyrs who was martyred yesterday, Chaudhry Naeem Ahmed Gondal Sahib. He was the son of Chaudhry Abdul Wahid Sahib of Karachi. He was only martyred yesterday. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. Mukarram Khurshid Alam Sahib was his late grandfather. The martyred was born in 1961. He was born in Sargota. In 1971, he moved to Gondal Farm, and then he moved to Urangi Town. In 1914, his maternal grandmother took the Bayat, the Pledge of Allegiance, at the hand of Hazrat Ghalib Tirmidhi II. His paternal grandfather took the Pledge of Allegiance later. The martyr had done an MA Economics and also other studies. He worked in the State Bank of Pakistan as an assistant director. His martyrdom came about in this way. The morning of 19th July, as per his routine, he left for his office to go to the State Bank. Normally, there is a narrow alleyway which leads to an open road where the car from the bank would come and take him to the office. When he entered this narrow alleyway, two youngsters came, fired him on his forehead. The bullet came from one side and went out his other side. Through this, Naeem Ahmed Gondal Sahib was martyred. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. For 11 years, the martyred was the Sadr Halka of Urangi Town, and he was carrying out his services in this capacity. Before this 4 years, he was Guide Majlis Urangi Town, and before that, Zaim Halka, Secretary Vakfino, and Murabbi Atfal. He also worked in other different capacities. He was extremely friendly and a person of high moral values. The people of the local area also felt this way about him. The circumstances in Urangi Town had been bad for quite some time. There had been quite a lot of opposition, but he always showed great bravery. He would always challenge any of this. He was an extremely courageous and fearless person. With the grace of Allah, he was also a Musi. Some non-Ahmadis came to express their condolences and also mentioned. He had come here for the Jalsa for some years. The daughters of the place where he was staying said that instead of being a guest, when he stayed in our house, he would become the host for the other guests who were staying for the Jalsa. In fact, his humbleness was to the degree that whenever he polished his own shoes, he would also polish the shoes of the guests alongside this. On one Jalsa, when he came, when it was heavy rain, he said, our shoes were filled with mud. When we saw in the morning, our boots or Wellingtons were completely clean and they were all in a line. At night, he had taken all the boots or the Wellingtons of all the guests who were staying there, had cleaned the mud, had polished them and put them in a line. He was a person of great humility. He had no children, but his wife states that he took care of me in such a manner that it felt that perhaps my mother and father did not give me so much comfort and love as he did. May Allah elevate the rank of the martyred continuously, and may Allah the Almighty also end these days of difficulty in Pakistan. As I stated, we should give great attention towards prayer and especially in Ramadan in this light. We should supplicate especially. Pakistani Ahmadis also especially should pray, and also Ahmadis everywhere, that quickly these days of difficulty come to an end. The second funeral is of Mukarram Sahibzada Mirza Hafiz Ahmed Sahib, who was the son of Hazrat Khalif Tirmidhi II. He passed away at the age of 86. He passed away on the night of 14th and 15th July. He was born from Hazrat Umm Nasir. He would speak in a very soft tone. He would be very kind towards poor people. He passed the Maulvi Fazl exam, and then Hazrat Khalid Tumsid II sent him to Sindh to take care of the land. This is where he worked. When the syndicate came to an end, he started his own work. He had a lot of love for Khilafat. He would write to me regularly. He always showed great sincerity and loyalty with Khilafat. He was my mamu, that is my maternal uncle. May Allah elevate his rank. May Allah grant him forgiveness. As I stated, after the Friday prayers, I will lead these funeral prayers.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.